Friends, we are now moving towards chapter number 3 of our subject, Radical Business Performance Improvement. And the name of the chapter is Using TOC, Theory of Constraints, for Judging Various Actions and Decisions. While running the business, we take various actions which impact the business. We make various decisions which make a big impact on the business. And if we don't measure that impact on our business, then we are in a problem. TOC guides us how to judge impact on our business from our actions and decisions. For example, we decide to subcontract a component. What will happen to the business? We decide to buy one machine which is a non-constraint. What will happen? Traditional calculation methods will tell something. TOC will tell something different and open our eyes that what we have been doing up till now was all not correct. TOC gives us a different viewpoint. Very, very important, and that's why every businessman must study TOC. For understanding this chapter, we don't have to be accountants. We as engineers, we as normal students of management can understand what is given in this chapter. Please let us focus on this forthcoming chapter, Using TOC for Judging the Impacts on Our Business from Various Actions and Decisions. Every organization has a goal. An organization is built from various functions, like purchase, marketing, production, PPC, engineering. And in these functions, decisions or actions are taken every day. Decision to stop a production line, to stop a machine, or to run a machine in 3 shifts. Decision to upgrade a process by putting an attachment to that machine. Actions are taken, such as buying imported oil instead of local oil, buying imported spare parts instead of local spare parts. We take every day some decisions. We initiate and complete some actions every day in order to achieve the goal. The actions have to be synchronized to the organization goal. It should not happen that some action is taken, but there is no effect on the goal achievement. What is the use of that action? Suppose goal is not getting achieved and I spend 1 crore rupees, what is the use? Every action must take me near to the goal, very clear. Otherwise, I don't want to take that action. Unnecessary things I will not do, very clearly put. In order to make sure that every decision and action truly contributes to the goal, we must have goal measurements, impact of the action on the goal achievement. Goal measurements, judging the impact of a local decision on the organization as a whole. Measurements. Measurements drive the behavior in an organization. A good measurement drives a person in any function to do what is good for an organization as a whole. I will cite some examples afterwards. In many organizations, people in functional areas are actively encouraged to do the opposite. They are not doing what should be done. One of the most important characteristics of a good measurement system is that it should reflect the impact on entire system, not on isolated part. I will explain this, and maybe I will come back here. For example, a procurement manager was initially measured on the cost of purchases. He saves money on purchases. He was given higher rating. So, he took steps to reduce the cost of purchase and saved $1.3 million and he was promoted. What he did? He changed the vendors. Earlier he was getting from an urban place. He started getting from a rural place. Or something like that, he changed the vendors. And he saved $1.3 million for the company. And he was promoted also. Very good. He has saved the money. One will say, lot of improvement, $1.3 million. What happened? It was revealed later that due to problems caused by the new material, company lost $25 million. No. Now you tell me whether it is improvement. One person in one corner saves $1.3 million. Due to that new material, customer complaints come, warranty returns come, company loses $25 million in warranty cost. Is it an improvement? So measurement of that man, procurement man, being done on the cost of purchase is itself a wrong thing. We should measure what is the impact of that action on the overall organization. Otherwise, that will be a mistake. We have wrongly promoted a man. I will cite one more example. A sergeant noticed that one of the missiles was not functioning. Some problem. And what was the cause? Due to a bad part, due to a defective part, defective component, the missile was not working. So he went to the stores and he said, "Sir, I want that particular part to be replaced, so please issue me from your store stock." The stores man says, "Sorry, I have one part in stock, but I will not issue to you because if I issue that part, there will be stock out and I am not allowed to have any stock out because my performance is getting measured on the number of stock outs. So I will not issue that part." What happened? His production was stopped. Throughput was stopped. So the stores man was getting measured on the basis of stock out. That may be right, but the impact on the total organization was we lost the throughput. And one thing I will tell you, nothing as bad as losing the throughput. There is nothing in the world as bad as losing the throughput. Very, very bad to lose the throughput. And in this also, we lost the throughput. And in this first also, we lost money. So the total organization came into the problem. That's why I will cite my earlier slide. Measurement drives the behavior in an organization. A good measurement drives a person in any function to do what is good for the organization as a whole. If this would have been known to that man, he would have issued the part. If this would have been known by that purchase manager, he would not have spent money in wrong materials, though it was cheaper. However, in many organizations, people in functional areas are actively encouraged to do the opposite. They are told that, look, there should not be any stock out. Bas, they don't bother about others. They are told that cost of the purchase must go down. They are not worried what will happen to the organization as a whole. One of the most important characteristics of a good measurement system is that it should reflect the impact on entire system and not on the isolated part. I have explained this slide again. Why? Because without those two examples, this slide was not looking very good. Typical judgments provided by finance function. Our finance function is giving us some measurements. We take decisions, we take actions on the basis of those measurements. But we find that those actions or those decisions create big problems. I am going to explain this by various Excel sheets which are coming after this slide. What is the function of finance decision, finance department? One function is monitoring the money, including payroll, account receivables, payables, relationship with banks. Everybody knows this. Another function is judging major decisions and actions by measurements and tell the management, look, this action has created this effect. Judgment of the performance of the system as a whole is the job of finance department. Is the company performing? Is the ROI okay? Is everything under control? How is the performance? Is it improving or deteriorating? Judgment of the investment in equipment, the return that equipment is able to generate, ROI, internal rate of return, payback period, then make or buy decisions. Who has to say? Finance has to say. Making is cheaper or buying is cheaper? Comparison of cost of manufacturing the item internally as against the purchasing it from outside, that they are supposed to do for me. Subsystems, judgment of profit centers is done by applying profit and loss mechanism to subsystems. A profit center is subsystem which also buys and sells internally to other subsystems. Very funny. One subsystem gives the components to others and charges internally 10 rupees per component, like that, and calculate their own profit. Product service liability, viability, the higher the throughput gained per constraint unit, the more throughput the organization will gain by promoting such product, and thereby organization will gain more profit. Throughput, product and service viability. I am going to explain this by some Excel sheets, that if you make more throughput, you make the organization more viable. The product becomes more viable. Treatment of inventory causes distortion of the evaluation of the results on account of the following reasons. Inventory is really a liability because it jeopardizes quality. More the inventory, worse is the quality. Inventory hides the process related problems. Scrap, rework, defectives are mixed in the inventory. We come to know afterwards. All defectives are hidden in the inventory. It becomes major hurdle while coping changing demand. Suddenly, if the demand goes down, we have high inventory. Due date performance is getting affected. It injects unreliability in meeting the promised due dates. It increases the lead time. Inventory is our enemy. inventory is a big problem. In spite of all this, look at the funny thing. I am not an accountant. I am an engineer. But I laugh at this decision that though inventory is a liability, in balance sheet, inventory is regarded as an asset. Everybody knows, you people know. Inventory is considered as asset, though it is a liability. My quality getting affected, my due date performance is getting affected, process related problems are getting mixed in the inventory. In spite of all this, sometimes I laugh when I know that balance sheet regards inventory as an asset. You think whether it is right or wrong. Judgment on investment in equipment. The purchase of equipment decisions will add capacity to the constraint. The justification should not be done by calculating the cost saving. It should be done by looking at the additional sales, additional throughput. I will now explain the old concept of return on investment, how we have been doing. You know, suppose I invest $1,00,000 and in a new machine, and standard time earlier was 10, this new machine gives me 5. That means it is faster. So I save 5 minutes per component. Cost saving. I save 5 minutes per component. Yearly production is 30,000. So how we were doing earlier? Time saved per year is 150,000 hours. 150,000 minutes. 5 minutes per part, yearly production 30,000. So 150,000 minutes, which is 2,500 hours. 2,500 hours into 40 rupees per hour, I save 1,00,000 rupees. So I invest 1,00,000 rupees, I save 1,00,000 rupees in 1 year, so ROI is 1 year. Like that, I was doing calculation up till now. You also know it. One more thing, added capacity, investment amount is, let us say, 1,00,000. Old standard time was 10, new standard time is 9, that means I save only 10%. So time saved per part is 1, yearly production is 30,000, time saved per year is 500 hours, 30,000 minutes. So money saved per year is 20,000 at the rate of 40 rupees into 500, so 20,000. So ROI was 4 years or 5 years. ROI was 5 years. That is what I was calculating. But the funny thing is, am I going to make 30,000 parts yearly only on this machine? No, because the machine is non-constraint. There are other machines also. So utilization of this machine is not going to be 100% because there are other machines. So what is the use in putting money in a non-constraint operation? What we were doing the calculation like this. Standard time reduction into yearly production, finding out what is the money saved. Money saved divided by investment amount is the ROI. But for non-constraint machine, this will not be realized. The money will not come back in 1 year because that machine will not be utilized. If the machine is non-constraint, then the thing is different. If the machine is a constraint, then the thing is different. How? Total sales of this company is 10 million. Raw material cost, let us say 50% is 5 million. Throughput is sales minus raw material cost is 5 million throughput. Capacity added by this new machine in the constraint, we are breaking the constraint by investing 1,00,000. We have broken this constraint and added throughput 5% and 5, so we have capacity added is 5% and 50% raw material cost, means added throughput is 2,50,000. New throughput is 5,250,000. That is the new throughput. 5 million plus 250. So 5,250,000. This is the throughput. And what is the added throughput? 2,50,000. What is the investment? 1 lakh. So the ROI is only 0.4. Only a few months. Here I was showing 5 years. Here I was showing 1 year. Completely wrong way. But if it is a constraint, and if you are adding the capacity to the constraint, you are actually breaking the constraint, you are improving the throughput, and if you improve the throughput, that 1 lakh rupees will come back to you within just 0.4 years. So interesting. So please understand, while doing the return on investment calculation, do not see what cost you are incurring, see what throughput you are increasing by breaking the constraint. By breaking the constraint, if you are improving the throughput of the company, don't worry about the cost. Worry about what kind of throughput you are increasing, because company runs on throughput. Your thinking, your paradigm shift should be on throughput improvement. Don't do the calculations or don't increase the capacity for non-constraint machines. Increase the capacity for constraint machines. That will give you additional throughput. That will give you additional profit, net profit. Because when you put additional machine, the operating expenses need not necessarily increase. So whatever you are making more production, that comes as a throughput and that increases your net profit. That is the summary of this sheet. I explained to you how we are wrong in calculating the return on investment. If I invest money in a new machine, if I invest it in a non-constraint, the scenario is different. If I invest it in a constrained machine, scenario is different, because not cost but throughput is important. Similarly about make and buy judgment. Normally the internal cost is compared with the external vendor's price and the decision is taken on the basis of price. If I save money, okay, I give the order. Simple. All the years we have been doing, if my cost is, internal cost is 10 rupees, the vendor is giving in 8 rupees, okay, order. If vendor is giving in 17 rupees, I don't order. This is what make and buy decision I have been doing since years. When constraint is involved, the justification should not be based on cost savings. If the operation which I do on constraint, if it is offloaded, internal cost is 10 and the vendor is asking for 15 rupees, give it to him. Because by offloading the constraint, I am breaking the constraint. My throughput is improving. I am going to do some calculations in the next slide. It should be based on the additional sales that you might be able to service.